We're talking about the move to unionize, a first for a major video game company, and the Wisconsin Connection on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Glad you could be here. So these are quality assurance workers at Middleton-based Raven Software, which is a subsidiary of the parent company Activision Blizzard. And they work on the video game Call of Duty. Join in on workers organizing in the video game and tech industries. What this signals to you, 800-642-1234. Jessica Gonzalez is a Los Angeles-based organizer for the Communication Workers of America Labor Union. She's a former quality assurance tester for several gaming companies, most recently Activision Blizzard. Jessica, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for having me here.
Good morning. So until late last year, you had spent 7 years as a quality assurance tester of video games, and that could sound like a dream job for a lot of people who love gaming. What is that job really like?
Yeah, so quality assurance is, for one, a great discipline. It is the kind of last line of defense that your software is going to hit before it hits the consumer. So the quality assurance team, they are tasked with essentially trying to reverse engineer the product, making sure that, you know, there aren't any groundbreaking bugs that's going to stop the game from being playable, just making sure that anything, you know, new added into the game didn't break anything else upon introduction. And yeah, it really is just scrubbing all corners of a game and making sure that it's as polished as possible, especially for a title like Call of Duty that's such a large, you know, known title. So there's obviously an expectation of quality there. Mm-hmm. So quality assurance tester's job is to ensure the quality of the product.
What about the pay? What about the hours?
Yeah, absolutely. So quality assurance is kind of notoriously underpaid and undervalued in the video game industry. I actually went from video games to tech for a little bit. And, you know, there is a little bit of a pay bump there. Not sure why games is a little bit behind in that regard, but it is something that I'm looking into trying to fix because it is a technical job. But yeah, compensation wise, you know, quality assurance testers starting Activision were making below minimum, you know, which is obviously strange. And then the hours along with that, there's almost like a mandatory overtime that is required for this job. I remember when I started at Activision, I was doing up to 14-hour shifts a day.
Wow. And there's also this period of time called crunch time when there is a launch or an iteration of a game. Is that right? And where the hours get really intense.
Yeah, so crunch is almost inevitable in software development. So crunch time is when, you know, you have this milestone you're trying to reach and there's not enough, you know, work in the product that's supposed to meet the milestone. So we're essentially crunching to meet the milestone. So it's kind of just like an all hands on deck. Everybody's, you know, working as soon as the work is readily available. And so that can range anywhere from, you know, your normal 8-hour shift. A lot of times, oftentimes it goes from 12 to 14 hours. I remembered my first job as a quality assurance tester. I was working on Call of Duty Black Ops 3 in Activision. And I was actually working night shift, but we were working 12 to 14 hour shifts a day, up to 6 days a week.
And this is not remote work. You were working at the company, I would imagine, company headquarters.
That's right. Yeah. So we would be working in office and night shift and day shift shared stations. So as we would be clocking out, day shift would be going in. So it's kind of like almost like a 24-hour on the clock job.
Mm-hmm. Why did you leave the company?
Yeah, great question. So I left the company in December of last year. I actually worked at Blizzard before leaving. I was a senior test analyst, which is their fancy title for quality assurance tester, who's been around for a long time. And yeah, so I left the company. I was receiving a lot of like internal pushback for kind of organizing. I was really championing our diversity and inclusion committees. You know, after the Department of California Fair and Employment and Housing sued Activision Blizzard for sexual harassment and discrimination, I became kind of an activist in that, you know, I've obviously wanted to be part of the change in the company. So that kind of put a little bit of a target on my back in regards to like being public and talking about issues, working conditions, et cetera. So, you know, I was getting a lot of pushback internally. People were kind of watching my social media. People were kind of like campaigning against me. It was a very interesting time for sure. So I decided it was a little too much pressure for me. So I decided to take a step back from actually working at the company and then continuing my organization work with Communication Workers of America.
And we're going to talk about that organizing work here in just a moment. I'm going to reintroduce you, Jessica Gonzalez, former video game tester, now organizing people in the gaming industry to improve working conditions. You can join in on unionizing 800-642-1234 in the video game industry, in the tech sector. Your thoughts, 800-642-1234. So, Jessica, about last week, 19 of 22 quality assurance testers for Raven Software, vote to form a union called the Game Workers Alliance, Raven being out of a Madison suburb of Middleton. Can you explain, how did you help organize the workers there?
Yeah, absolutely. So I was already kind of doing organizing work through A Better ABK, which is my Twitter handle. A Better ABK was formed when Activision Blizzard responded to the lawsuit. And, you know, the employees felt like they weren't being heard. They weren't being accurately represented. So we decided to make like an employee-led communication network, essentially. So we had been posting about the lawsuit. We had been posting about collective action that was happening under, around all of ABK, which is Activision Blizzard King. And Raven had been watching us already because they are a subsidiary of Activision Blizzard. And, unfortunately in December, they had 12 testers that were kind of blindsided by layoffs after being promised, you know, full-time work, better pay, better benefits, et cetera. So they approached me and said, hey, you know, we noticed you've been organizing. We just had 12 people let go. Can you help us? Hmm. And absolutely, I'm always jumping at the chance to help my colleagues, even if they're in another studio that I've never even been to before. So, this is something that's commonplace in the games industry, is that they'll hire contract testers, promise them a full-time job, and then kind of exhaust, you know, almost like exploitively work them. And then, you know, they get burnt out
or and then once they get laid off. I was going to say, once the contract ends, it's up to that employee to reapply for a new position in the company. Is that how it goes?
That's correct. And also, the contracts weren't even up to end. They just terminated them.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. So that can happen.
So what does this mean? You know, in Wisconsin here, we have Act 10, we're a right to work state. We've seen unions, very much union membership, diminish over the decade. How much power can workers expect in a union in Wisconsin?
Absolutely. So the Raven Software Union, the Raven Software Quality Assurance Union, is something that was forged through fire. I feel like we fought really hard to get here. We fought against a huge anti-union campaign. Activision Blizzard hired anti-union consultants. One was Wilmer Hale, famously, and then Reed Smith, who was the actual law firm that went to court with the Raven Software QA testers to argue if they were an eligible unit. And then we ultimately won that, which was great. And we also won the election. So it's kind of amazing to see a group of 19 out of, 21 or 22 people vote to unionize when they were really heavily dealing with this anti-union campaign at the same time. So it's kind of amazing. It's amazing to go up against the boss. And I think in a video game industry, it's even more like, you know, there's a huge symbolism there of like a group of quality assurance testers, notoriously undervalued, underpaid, were able to come together and beat the boss. So very exciting. And I think it sets a huge precedent for the rest of the, you know, AAA video game industry and even the games industry as a whole. I think a lot of people are very tired of the labor practices.
But what is the bargaining power for Game Workers Alliance?
It's whatever they make it, honestly, because, you know, at the end of the day, Raven QA testers know what's best for them, and the ability to be able to collectively bargain for their better working conditions, you know, being paid better, more respect, you know, it's just whatever they decide to put at that table. It's going to be leading by example and setting a precedent for the rest of the industry. I want, you know, my goal for this union is to really say this is how we should be treating quality assurance in the video game industry. And, you know, hopefully other studios can kind of take note on that.
Jessica Gonzalez with us, labor union organizer with the Communication Workers of America, formerly working in the area of quality assurance for video game makers, as we were talking about. Join in on working conditions in the gaming industry, questions about unionizing, what this could mean for your work, 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Jessica Gonzalez here on the Ideas Network. We're discussing working conditions in the video game industry and the recent vote to unionize at Raven Software in Middleton. That's a subsidiary of Activision Blizzard, makers of games like Candy Crush, like Call of Duty. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. And last month's vote to unionize by quality assurance workers marks a first for a major gaming company in a nearly $200 billion industry. That worldwide market worth is, according to research firm Mortar Intelligence. Join in on how you feel about the emergence of game worker unions in America. 800-642-1234. Jessica Gonzalez with us, labor union organizer, formerly working in quality assurance for Activision Blizzard, and with us for about 9 more minutes. Jessica, you mentioned this very briefly, that the state of California and the Federal Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, they sued Activision Blizzard for pervasive gender-based discrimination, like women routinely paid less than men for similar work and fostering a bro culture. Can you explain the ramifications of the settlement?
Absolutely. So Activision Blizzard was sued by the Department of Fair Employment and Housing through California. And this was a 2-year investigation that started, I believe, in 2018 or 2019. And they kind of were calling all of the women at the company to kind of give testimony. And after the 2-year investigation, they decided to, you know, proceed with it. And then it went public. And the response from leadership was, you know, that of denial and not taking accountability. So a lot of the employees expressed concerns with not believing victims. You know, there was still a lot of people that were still working at the company. So we all collectively decided that it was unacceptable to try to ignore a problem in the video game industry. And I think, it translates as well in the gaming industry in general. You know, gaming can be mostly male dominated. Women don't already feel included in the space a lot of the time. So it really was great to see everyone kind of come together collectively and just push for better.
You mentioned the gender balance. What can you tell us about the gender balance in the video game industry? Who are behind these games?
Absolutely. So, you know, a lot of the executive level, higher level positions are notoriously, you know, male dominated. It really is hard for a woman coming in the space. I feel like, you know, there's obviously a lot of nepotism that happens in the industry. There's a lot of office politics. And unfortunately, you know, there are people who abuse their positions of power, and quality assurance in the games industry is notoriously, like I said, underpaid. And they're kind of kept with like this carrot on a string where they say, you know, work really hard for 6 months and we'll extend your contract, or we'll hire you full time. And then it really does depend on the team you're with or what lead you have, because easily those formulas, you know, can be abused for personal gain by people who have power.
So this settlement, $18 million settlement to compensate employees who experience discrimination, you are appealing the settlement. Can you explain why?
I am, absolutely. So, you know, one of the main reasons why I appealed the settlement is because it's very rushed, in my opinion. To me, it seems like they want the merger with Microsoft to go through. So they wanted a judge to approve on the settlement. The settlement seems woefully inadequate because if you look at Riot Games, who had they were being sued by the same entity, they just settled for $100 million. And even that, I feel like, is a low number. Just think about, you know, this multi-billion dollar industry and all of our labor creates that revenue. And it's really unfortunate that, you know, the decade of abuse and everything that went on for so long, it's kind of, you know, unfortunate that they would put that low of a number to survivors and victims. So I think it's a low amount, and I think it should be more because there's a lot of people affected. And another thing too, is I noticed that if you were to sign on to the EEOC settlement, like if you were to agree to it, they were able to have all of the evidence, and then the DFEH could no longer use that. So I didn't want that to happen. You know, obviously the DFEH has all of my evidence and information there. So I didn't want to forego that. I wanted the representation.
There's this provision that bars people who apply to be claimants from future settlements. Is that an issue?
Yeah. And, you know, it's unfortunate because one of the things that we advocated very largely for when all of this started was the end of all mandatory arbitration clauses in employee contracts, contract or full-time. You know, it's very often that you sign those things because of, you know, the nature of the work. You're working on something that's unreleased. A lot of times, you know, you're bound by a non-disclosure agreement. So people are a little bit afraid. They feel like they can't talk about their working conditions or things that happen to them. And I feel like this is just another way to kind of silence people, which is unfortunate. You know, these issues are very important, and we're not going to tackle them and fix them unless we kind of take accountability for, you know, the decade of, you know, issues here.
Talking with Jessica Gonzalez, former quality assurance tester of video games, most recently for Activision Blizzard, which is the subject of our conversation on unions. She's now an organizer for the Union Communication Workers of America. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Communications Workers of America said, Jessica, that workers will soon, in talking about the Game Workers Alliance, that they will soon have an enforceable union contract and a voice on the job. Can you explain what are the next steps here and how this contract will come together?
Absolutely. So, you know, a lot of the time the employer likes to use a third party, like, you know, to thwart any unionization attempts, but really the union is you and your coworkers. So if you know at the end of the day what's best for your position, you know, like myself, I've been in quality assurance for 7 years. I feel like I have a pretty good understanding of, you know, the working conditions and what we could improve upon. So it really is upon those, you know, that group of QA testers to come collectively, you know, negotiate a contract or design a contract that's going to be in their best interest. And then, you know, then bring that to the employer and say, hey, like we want these conditions. So it really is on them. And the great thing about unions is that they're very democratic. So this process, it could take a long time, but the most important part of it is just everyone aligning on proper treatment in the industry, better working conditions, better benefits, better protections, et cetera. Should they even crunch? Like some people enjoy doing crunch. So it really is about if you choose to crunch, you know, do we have the mental, physical protections? Because I've seen a lot of people suffer through crunch periods.
And you say better working conditions, and that can mean a lot of things. What might be high on the list of demands from the union members?
Yeah, so I can't speak to that because I haven't worked at Ravensoft. I would just say that they would probably know the best interest of their own working conditions. But, you know, I can say at a very minimum, compensation would absolutely need to go up. You know, there's a lot of these game companies are in expensive locations like Irvine, California, very expensive Los Angeles, Santa Monica, you know. Madison's beautiful, by the way. I just visited a couple weeks ago. It's very nice.
Thank you.
yeah, but It is really about having a quality of life and not just kind of surviving for the company and giving, you know, getting burnt out, because a lot of the industry is having exceptional talent and then, you know, exploiting that passion instead of nurturing it. And then it turns into a burnout situation. So, and then you get tired and go to another company. So we obviously want to keep talent. So that's going to be our top priority probably.
Well, Jessica, thank you so much for joining us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much for having me and, you know, giving me a platform to talk about these things. It's really important to me.
Jessica Gonzalez is a former quality assurance tester of video games, most recently for Activision Blizzard. She's now an organizer for the union Communications Workers of America. Ahead this hour, we talk with a Wisconsin physician about how healthcare professionals talk about obesity with patients in the clinic visits and how it could affect the care that patients receive. Join in on obesity conversations with your doctor, 800-642-1234. News update is next. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network.